Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi. I am your Emperor, and I am your Maliwa, and I'm here to serve you. Welcome once again to my old friends, and I say Habari Gani to my new friends. Greetings. Welcome. It is now time to talk about the different schools of thoughts. And as you know, this month's featured topic has been on the schools of thoughts. We've ran the gamut of dealing with laws of attraction and dealing with the laws and schools of men and their philosophies and pedagogical belief systems. And now we're running the gamut of looking at the schools of scholarships. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. There's tons of money out there that has not been claimed. And guess what? If we don't claim it, it will go back to its source. Sort of like energy, of course. Anything that can be created like energy and is powerful as energy is a good thing. So I would like to alert all of you young men and women who are yet still in high school, who are thinking about college, but because that filthy lucre, you don't have enough money to go to college and you're putting it off saying, I can't afford it, then I want you to look a little bit farther at your resources and come on in this room this evening and you'll find out you might be able to finance your education with the proper guidance from the specialists in the area of working with financial aid. We'd like to invite you in and tell you to lock that dial in, little G. Lock it in at 646-478-0270. Just keep it right there. Keep it right there for safekeeping. You might want to use it later. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a non-for-profit organization sponsored through Project 2019. And as you know, Project 2019 works with youth and getting them to go to college. We fill the gap in because we are going to be the only ones as African Americans to lift ourselves up. And without education, we can't go anywhere. So we are foundering ourselves on filling in the gap and doing for self. This is a conscious room where we focus in on making sure that we circulate our dollar more than one time in our neighborhood. It's very important that you should know that non-for-profit organizations cannot live by bread alone. They need donations, and they need plenty of it. So why don't you go out and donate to your proper non-for-profit organization today and support them? And once again, we like to say that we are talking about scholarships. We have a guest, and we have an in-house resident that's an expert on working with financial aid. Her name is Tracy Denard. She comes to us from Chicago, Illinois, by way of the Windy City, some would add. And Tracy Denard is a special family member. We welcome her as a family member. She is also a star, ladies and gentlemen. Not only does she work for National Lewis University as one of their managers, she works in the capacity of working with young students and recruiting students into management programs and into undergraduate programs. However, we've invited Stacy here because of her expertise in scholarships. She will be talking about the scholarships that are available for students who are not necessarily needy, but those students who are merit students, students who have done excellent in school and have high GPAs and would like to finance their education. Now, these scholarships, she'll go into detail about the necessities and requirement and prerequisites about that, and I'll leave that up to her. But I want to tell you a little bit about Tracy's background. Tracy is also a star. We had a star in here last night, Miss Loretta Young. If you missed that, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to go back and listen to that on demand. This is two nights in a row to have a star. Mrs. Tracy Denard is a star off of the Awakening Show from Liberty Temple Full Gospel, the world headquarters church out of Chicago. And I wanted to mention that because that's what makes us kinfolk. We both came from Liberty Temple Full Gospel Christ, and that's where my foundation from ministry came from. So I'm really proud of Stacy and the work that she's done in the area of spiritual acting and being an actress for The Awakening. So I'm pretty proud to have her here in the room this evening. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short, brief interval to go and pay some bills, and we'll be right back at you. But I want to say hello to Tracy, and we'll be right back in the atmosphere. Good evening, well, Tracy. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much, Sherelle, for having me on your show. And good evening to all the listeners out there.
Thank you so much for responding, Tracy, and answering our call. We're so glad to have you, and we are so fortunate to have a star in the room tonight. And when I first saw you, it was interesting how I said, oh, my God, you're from The Awakening. So I want those listeners out there who normally watch the show to please call in and make a response tonight. So thank you, Tracy, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. We're going to take a short, brief break, and I'll be back at you in a minute. Stay tuned. And here's a blast from Anthony Hamilton. Thank you.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it. What a dummy, such a dummy. To let the mess I shouldn't have did take you from me. Girl, if I could take it back, it'd be so bad. I'd be such an angel. You'd think that me and Jesus was cool. Like that, just like that. Everything between us be good. Girl, I know what I should have done. Should have walked away the moment that I saw her come.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And we're going to go over to the throne of grace. And before we do anything, we must acknowledge our higher selves. We must acknowledge God, the higher force within this room. Whatever we're doing, we always acknowledge those shoulders who we stand upon. And we also acknowledge all of our mentors, our scholars. We acknowledge even those deceased loved ones who might not be yet here. We think that they're still in the atmosphere. We acknowledge all of our heroes and sheroes in this room. And if you don't mind, we're going to go over to the throne of grace and we're going to lift them up in prayer. And we also lift those loved ones who are absent in body but still present in the spirit. And because you know in this room, we acknowledge things through a ritual and we make sure that our consciousness as black people are understood because we always have to remember those in the middle passage who are still yet traveling, and because of the Maiafa, we still have a Maiafa of those slaves that have never made it across the river and who are yet still there. So we acknowledge all of the Harriet Tubmans and all of those shoulders who we stand upon. So we will offer up libation to the four cardinal directions. And we pour libations first to God, who is the head of our life, and we say, libation, Ashe. I pour libation to my mother spirit, who represents Yamanja. I pour libation to my father spirit, acknowledging all the ancestors and all of those who are traveling in the middle passage who are still on their way. We say, Ashe. We pour libations to the four cardinal directions, and we pour libations to the east, and we say libation. We pour libations to the west, and we say libation, Ashe. We pour libations to the south, and as the Egyptians say, south is still up, libation. And finally, we pour libations to the north, and we say, Ashe. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide us on the path of righteousness, and not upon the path of those who have gone astray. Father God, we ask that you will penetrate today and that you will bless every household that is represented here today and that the work that we do here in this room today will be credited to you and we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor. And we say amen. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to remember that Africans have traditions and they have heritage, and we're not just a heritage, we are culture. And it's important that we should do these things to be reminded that it is not our shoulders alone that we stand upon, but because of those who have died and who have laid their lives down, we must remember them in prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that the dial is locked in there, and if you haven't locked the dial in yet, 646-478-0270, please do so. Our chat rooms will be open, so if you would like to come in our chat room, you can quietly come in our chat rooms. However, we are going to be in the room present here today. Now, we're going to stop for a second, and we're going to invite our guests on to give us a little bit more background information. She is also a businesswoman, and she'll be elaborating a tidbit on her new adventure capital, and I'm going to allow her to go in more details about the language of communication. And she will give you a little bit more information on that during the second half of our show. But right now I'm going to invite Tracy on to talk about a little bit about her position at National Lewis University and what she does for them in the way of recruiting the students for scholarships and the prerequisites for the scholarships and how one might be able to find her and apply for these scholarships. We're going to bring her on, Mrs. Tracy Denard.
Good evening.
Hello,
once
Tracy.
Again. Hi, how
you
are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for asking. And you have the atmosphere, and you're in the atmosphere. If you will please give me a little background information about how these students can qualify for your scholarships, and tell me how the scholarships were created and whose funding does this funding money come from for the scholarship as well.
Sure, I'll be happy to. First of all, again, my name is Tracy Denard, and I am the Undergraduate Initiative Manager for National Lewis University, and that's located right downtown Chicago, 122 South Michigan, easily accessible on public transportation. We're right east of the Adams and Wabash L. So for those of you that are listening and wanted to know where we're located, that's right where we are, right across the street from the Chicago Art Institute. We have a fantastic scholarship program. It's through our daytime program. It's an undergraduate scholarship, and it's called the Harrison Fellows Scholarship. We invest $50,000 over 4 years for each of our students that have qualified for this scholarship. It pays up to 60% of their tuition. And, Sherelle, that's amazing because for those that are FAFSA eligible, they also, not only do they get the scholarship, but they also get their financial aid on top of that, and we also offer work study on top of that. So many of our students are paying very little out-of-pocket costs. And then those who are not FAFSA eligible, they still can receive the scholarship. And a third of our students, I will say, are not FAFSA eligible. They may be undocumented for whatever reason, but they still can receive the scholarship. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, what is how much is that, and what are the qualifications? Again, it's $50,000 over 4 years. The programs that we offer, it's during the daytime, and it's one of five programs that you can choose from. Business administration is one. Human services. Elementary education. Now, with elementary education, the concentrations are either in math or in science, because we know that those are the two main areas that will really help to keep one employed, is math and science. The other two programs that are offered in the daytime is special education and early childhood. So the qualifications for the Harrison Fellows Scholarship is having a 2.5 or higher grade point average and leadership potential. What have you done in your community? What have you done in your church? What have you done in your home? You know, there are many people that maybe they've had very little outside leadership qualities, but they may have siblings where they have to be the second mom. Well, you know, that's showing leadership potential right there, especially if you have to take on that kind of responsibility where you're helping your brothers and sisters that are much younger than you to get their homework done, and you have to do all the chores around the house while your parent is out and away. I mean, that's significant, and we look at that as well. If you've done some things in your church, if you're active and involved in your community, well, we're looking for people like you that have those qualifications. And if you have a 2.5, which is a C-plus average or higher, then you qualify. And we also look at, if you are a transfer student, we're looking at 15 hours or less transfer credit. So we accept students that have a GED or high school diploma. If you have either of those, or even maybe you've been out of school for 20 years, 30 years, you're also welcome. There's no age limit on this. As long as you are out of high school and have the verification to back that up, we do not even look at ACTs. Now, many young people are ecstatic about that. We are looking primarily to see what kind of leader are you, what kind of potential do you have, and both academic as well as non-academic, because there is a piece for civic engagement that we want to involve you in at National Lewis University. There's a lot of community work that we do, and we are really, really anxious to help students, help students to, you know, get their feet wet and to be a part of that. So those are the qualifications, a 2.5 grade point average, 15 hours or less transfer credit, and a desire to be a leader in your community. So there are three things that you'll need to turn in, and I'm going to give you the website in a moment. Number one, you'll need to turn in a recommendation letter. Now, for those of you that may be majoring in human services, we require two recommendations for human services. Okay, so the things that you'll need to turn in are, number one, recommendation letter or letters, number two, your official transcripts, and number three, the completed applications. The website where the applications can be found are nl.edu/Harrison Fellows. I'll repeat that, nl.edu/Harrison Fellows. And if you need further information, I'll give you my office number as well. Feel free to give me a call at 312-261-3845, and I'll repeat that, 312-261-3845. Now, one other thing I think is very important to know, we have what's called a shadow day, and that will be November 26th, so that's coming up. Shadow day is where you can come if you are interested and you want to kind of find out what it's all about. You can come to National Lewis on that day at 9 a.m. We have workshops, we have orientation, and you'll be able to be workshopped in each of our programs so that you can kind of find out what it's all about and get a good feel to see if you're a good fit for the university and if the university is a good fit for you. You'll also get a chance to see what the various student organizations are all about, and there's a student panel of our returning students. And you can ask all the questions you'd like to find out, wow, how do they really experience National Lewis? So please come through there. If you are interested in being a potential student, come on to Shadow Day, November 26th. You also have an opportunity to fill out the applications right then and there. And did I mention that we all have pizza? You know, a lot of times having a long day like that, you do get a little hungry. So we'll provide pizza for you as well. So that's Shadow Day, and that's on November 26th. And now those that are coming to Shadow Day, these are people that are very interested in starting right away. We have a January opening. January 7th is our winter term. So these are the folks that we are looking for that will come to Shadow Day. Now, if you're looking at coming next fall, not a problem. We'll be doing Shadow Day once again in the spring for those that are coming in the fall. But for those that are interested to come right now, this winter term, January 7th, feel free, come on to Shadow Day. And I am totally open for questions.
I have a question for you, Tracy. Something you had said about that the students were still able to receive their work study in addition to receiving the grants and scholarships.
Yes, absolutely.
Usually they deduct those funds from your unsubsidized or subsidized money if you're receiving student aid. So that would mean that they're getting primarily a full ride, and they can reduce some of those unsubsidized loans, Stafford loans, if they are going to go on work study, so that there will be less money that they would have to pay back. I think that's quite huge.
It's tremendous. Now, I want to be careful about saying full ride, because there are some out-of-pocket costs. Now, it does not cover.
So what are those out-of-pocket?
Right, there are some fees as well as your books, and there's still a bit of tuition that all students would need to pay. So, you know, but I will say, so someone out there may wonder, well, what is the tuition? Each program has a different set of tuition. Each one is very different because of the various.
In the science and math area, because of
yes.
that being a shortage area?
Yes. So, for example, the business administration program, that runs around $18,000 or so. So if you look at 60% of that, and then for those that are FAFSA eligible, you know, and everything is on a case-by-case basis. So everyone receives something different in terms of their financial aid.
Now, Tracy, explain to the listening audience what FAFSA eligible means, because for the terminology, some might not be familiar with that. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. If you are financially if there's a need base. In other words, if depending on, say you're a high school student about to graduate, and until you are 24, I believe is the cutoff for being independent, then you are dependent and someone is has you on their taxes, okay? So you would go to FAFSA.com, which is a free website that you would go to fill out the form, the FAFSA form, and that stands, you know, the acronym escapes me, but it's like a financial aid form that you would fill out. And, again, FAFSA is monies, federal monies from the government that you do not have to pay back. I'll repeat that. It's monies that you do not have to pay back. It is not a loan. So if so once you fill out the information, I'm sorry?
Now, when you said FAFSA is money you do not have to pay back, you mean
yes.
The grant is money that you do not have to pay back. If they get an unsubsidized loan or subsidized loan, those two things do have to
yes.
be paid back.
Those you have to pay back, right. But the Pell Grant, right, the grants you do not have to pay back, and so they would receive a package. In other words, it will identify how much the scholarship pays for, what your Pell Grant pays for, and any other grants that are available, MAP Grant, all the grants, what that pays for, and then for those that do have that option for getting a subsidized or unsubsidized loan. So that way...
Mm-hmm. You might want to also tell them there is a deadline to get that FAFSA filled out, and I think that's March 10th, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and it starts like January 1st. So first come, first serve. You want to be right on that. You don't want to wait until March, because those monies can run out. So you want to be one of the first to fill that information out as soon as possible, so that you'll be in the pool of monies that are available. So I encourage all the listeners, once you fill out your FAFSA, do that as soon as possible. As soon as January comes around, fill out the FAFSA. Go to FAFSA.com.
Now, are there any statistics to show how many of these grants has already been given out, and what is the statistics of the what is the graduate rate, and how many students have received, you know, scholarships who have gone on to higher academia to become graduate students?
Let me kind of back up a little bit, because our scholarship is very, very new. So this is a very new program, Sherelle. This program started in 2010, so it's very young. And with that said, the reason it was started is because most of our students at National Lewis are degree-seeking students, and they're mostly adult students. And so up until 2010, I'd say over about 90%, if not more, were transfer students. They came in with their 90 hours, and they came to National Lewis to complete their degree. So they were just there to complete it. But you know what? The decision makers there thought, you know what, we need to do something a little bit different. All of our staff are there during the daytime. The faculty is there, the registrar. But very little was going on in terms of classwork. You know, the rooms were kind of empty, because most of our students were there in the evening or took classes online. Now, we have 5 campuses. And with that said, because we're at the Chicago campus, many of our students at that time took classes online or they took classes in the evening. But very few took them in the daytime because of work and so forth and what have you. So they decided to have a scholarship program named after Elizabeth Harrison, who is the founder of National Lewis from 1886. She founded Kindergarten College. And she wanted to help women and immigrant women, particularly, to educate their children. And so after many changes with the name of the university, Mr. Lewis came along and gave a tremendous donation, and therefore we have National Lewis University. So in 2010, we started it as the Harrison Program, and it has been refined and refined these past several years. So it is the undergraduate day program with the Harrison scholarship. We also have another scholarship called the Pioneer Scholarship, and that pays 30% of tuition. So if for some reason someone does not qualify for the Harrison Scholarship, then they pretty much automatically get the Pioneer Scholarship. And that's really with the 2.0 grade point average.
Is that merit-driven or is that on needs basis also?
That's more need-based. That's more need-based. There is an interview process, but once the documentation is in terms of your transcripts and your applications and your recommendation letter, most of our students, if not all, they'll receive an acceptance letter, and then they will be contacted to come in for the interview for the Harrison Scholarship. And I want to also say one of the things that I enjoy about our daytime program is the building of community among our students. We have right now, it's pretty small, we have about 104 students and it's growing, but it makes it nice because, number one, all of our students are students of color, and secondly, they are family. You know, that is our motto, is that we're family. We have family meetings once a month where we can share concerns and we can encourage one another and sing happy birthdays to everyone. And, you know, and it makes it really nice. Even the president of the university came down over the summer with 200 donuts. No, it was 200 cupcakes just to say hello. So we really, really offer that family feel. It's a nurturing environment. I received my master's there in 2008, and now I'm working on my doctorate in educational leadership. And I can vouch for the school because the classes are small. And the teachers, they absolutely care. You have one-on-one with the students. And by small, I mean you might have 15 students in the classroom. You know, so it's really nice.
I was going to say that this school has a lot of history to it. I am also alumni of National Lewis University. I graduated in 1996 when they had the Epperson campus. However, I was out in the Milwaukee and Kenosha campus in that area back in 1993 to 1996. And I'm a returning recipient candidate for the postgraduate program for the Certificate of Advanced Study. However, I do see the benefit of actually coming across state to come back to the school, or else I would not be there because I'm actually coming from one state to another state to go back. This will be my second time around also. National Lewis University is by far one of the most excellent schools, and my undergraduate was a top 10 school, but I really like the family atmosphere of National Lewis. I like the fact that they're a teacher-oriented school and they're really, really focusing in on some, you know, cutting-edge material in the area of English as a second language. And they're really promoting those programs that are hard to fill, the shortage areas, such as early childhood, like Mrs. Dinard said, and science, math, and also the bilingual ELL program now. And those programs, ELL is actually reduced for those students who would like to get in there and get endorsed. That's a reduced program, and we're pushing and marketing the ELL program right here in Indiana because you can take those classes for $360-some per semester when they normally are double that amount. Mm-hmm. So they offer all kinds of financial breaks on their tuition, which is a lot different nowadays because most schools are going up, and when National Lewis, tuition is remaining consistent, which is a good thing.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. I highly recommend it.
And I wanted to ask you about the PhD program. Can you elaborate a little bit on funding that's available for minorities who are interested in the PhD program?
You know, unfortunately, I cannot elaborate more on that, and simply because I'm an employee there, so I'm, you know, able to, God has blessed me to have the tuition waiver. So I don't say that too loudly, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. And I know it's very difficult for many students that are looking for postgraduate work. There are a few fellowships out there, but it's a matter of searching those out. So it's not easy. It's not easy. But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. If you can search out funding, especially for your master's or for your doctorate, you know, my advice to anyone out there that is looking to go higher in their education, you know, it's going to be worth it. A lot of times people are held back because of a lack of finances, but if you can go forward, it is so worth it. It really, really is.
With whether or not the PhD candidates, do they qualify for the TEACH grant if they were going for an academia position as a professor? Would they qualify for TEACH funding?
Yeah. You know, again, that's not my area of expertise, but I can I have to just kind of bring it back to the undergraduate program, in which is, you know, my area of proficiency here. But I, as a student in the EDL program, I really can't talk too much on the TEACH grants. I know those are available, but I don't want to say something that may not be true. So those areas I'll just need to stay away from because
you understand?
Yes. Yeah, so
the reason why I ask that, because there are a number of teachers here in my state who have become displaced, and a large portion of us are going back to school to get other endorsements. And science is my background. However, a lot of teachers don't realize there's a shortage area in science, so
right.
I'm getting endorsed in ELL, but I'm also endorsable in science because I worked in the medical field for many years. So I would say to those teachers that there are TEACH grants out there, and I know because I'm receiving one now for shortage area. And if you're going in the shortage area, they will provide you with a TEACH grant for your master's. I'm not certain if that is the same or true for the PhD. And I certainly do encourage those master's degree to go back to become an academician and a professorette, because I oftentimes talk about professorette here in this classroom, Tracy. I always tell them I'm a professorette because I do adjunct work for Purdue University from time to time. So I know what it feels like to be a professorette, and it's to your benefit to have doctors put it in instead of just saying, well, I'm just going to stop here at the certificate level.
Absolutely.
My thing is we should all have a pedagogical philosophy and be able to be institutions. And I'm very proud of you, Tracy, for going on for the PhD. Now, what's the PhD program like in the area of
it's
leadership?
Amazing. I love it. They've reorganized it. It's been adjusted quite a bit. And this is the first year for the restructuring of that. For my area, educational leadership is under three layers. The first part of it was your program evaluation. The second area is organizational change plan. And then the third one, which will be starting in January, is policy and advocacy. The way we have it, it's a three-year commitment. It's only 3 years, which is just tremendous. We meet face-to-face once a month. Everything else is online, so it's a blended cohort. So you start together and you end together. That's what a cohort is, for those of you that did not know what that meant. And it's absolutely wonderful. The first part of the year, we have the coursework, and we typically meet Friday evenings from 6 to 9, and then all day Saturday from 9 o'clock to 4. And then the coursework, everything is required online after that, papers and so forth. And then when we meet back, then there's a lot of discussion. There's face-to-face. It's very interactive. And I'll even say it's pretty much therapeutic as well. You're challenged in areas of leadership. You're challenged to face your fears and to step out and do some things that you never thought you could in various areas. And so by the time you get to the second or third year, you have absolutely – you can see what your program is, how it's changed, what policies and how you're advocating for your particular program. And we do what's called an as-is. What does it look like now, and what is it going to be later on? And then making steps toward that. So the educational leadership program is amazing. The first part of the year is the coursework, and then the second 6 months is pretty much research and you meet with your department chair once a month, and they work with you on your dissertation. The dissertation is embedded in the program. So each of us are working on our dissertations as we go, and then we meet with our chair once a month for revisions. It's amazing. I'm loving it. A lot of people are afraid to go into a PhD program because they think, oh, it's just so hard, and oh, all that writing, and oh, I think it's just, I can't do that, and they think negatively. But, you know, I found if you love what you do, if you are challenged in an area and you want to see something improve, then I really encourage people to go into the doctoral program, because that's where you're going to not only be challenged in your leadership, but as you write about it, if it's part of your passion, then you'll enjoy it. And what my dissertation is, and I'm not going to kind of reveal it right now, but it's part of my passion. And I will say that it deals with the daytime program. So, you know, when you have a passion for something, then it's not difficult.
And, you know, I want to say I concur with you on all that you said. The certificate program is somewhat like a preparation for the PhD. 12 of our hours go towards the PhD, and I don't know how they're going to use 12 hours in a cohort program, but that's what they sold the certificate program on to get us in there, I think. And as I thought more and more about it, I said, well, if I had added another year to this, I'd be a professorette by now.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, to get 12 hours, I said, but what are you going to do with these 12 hours when you're in a cohort program? So I pretty much have written there at the certificate program, and many times I thought, what am I doing in the certificate program? I'm professorette material.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, oftentimes they call me professor because I've been lecturing for a long, long time.
Right.
I specialize in early childhood, but my whole thing is that if you can make it through the master's program, you can be a professorette.
Absolutely.
And I do urge to go that route, because it sounds so much more elegant when you say doctor, professorette.
Yes,
and for
absolutely.
For African Americans, it is a really eye-opener, because some of us, for the first time in our lives, we are on the cutting edge, and we're first-generation graduates, and it was 7 people in my household who went and got credentials. So I do talk about Project 2019. Our whole mission is to close the gap for people going to college, and we do everything we can to get them in those shortage areas like math and science and engineering.
Yes.
So I want to thank you, Ms. Tracy Denard, for coming here to tell us about the funding that is laying out there. It's in a hidden treasure chest. You have to look to find funds, but here's someone just giving you the keys to unlock the door. I want to thank you so much for giving us that information.
Oh, the pleasure's mine.
We are all out of time, and I tell you, I would like to get upfront and close and personal to ask you about more about your acting career, but time won't allow it.
Oh.
But I will have you have the last words to say one or two things about your up-and-coming entrepreneurship.
Oh, sure. I am also the director for academic development with Success as a Language. Success as a Language I'm an educational consultant in the evening and on weekends, as you see, because National Lewis is my first, my daytime. But the mission of Success as a Language basically is to create a culture of success among our learning communities by basically offering personal development training to educators, to parents, and students. So we believe that success that we experience, it's really a direct result of our ability to build strong relationships with others. And, you know, everything we do in life is built on relationships. You know, people say it's who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. But you know what? It's not just who you know, but it's who you know that likes you. But this is really key in terms of success as a language, because it helps not only to show you how to connect with others. I do trainings on leadership. I do trainings on how to communicate. Many people communicate, but few connect. We train
You know what, Mrs. Denard, we are going to connect at another time because we
sure.
don't want them to kick off this air. But you have so many good things I would like to talk with you about. I'm going to invite you to come back again so you can be
oh,
on the
thank
show.
Thank you.
And deep concentration, and we can get upfront and personal. I like to say, ladies and gentlemen, you have Mrs. Denard here in the flesh, our Professor Red. We want to thank her so much for bringing us all this information. It's so amazing. And at this time, we are going to have to